the transience and impermanence of the visitation. One thing that is a feature of all, and I mean all, startup business successes I have seen is timing. And not the type of timing where you have all of the dominoes set out in an elaborate, complex pattern, and at the perfect moment you release the marble that tips them into a spectacular cascade. It is a timing that appears completely random, and is the timing of opportunity meeting the market at the same time as you are ready to be the vehicle that makes it all happen. Your readiness to hear the call and take the action is the single most important part of success, and it is very unplannable. Your capacity to act, however, comes from preparation. If you are training for a marathon, you would have to run long distances for weeks, if not months, in the lead up to the point where you actually run the marathon. All of the work you do through the eight limbs of the Yoga Sutras, the mind management, and renouncing of attachment of the eight worldly dharmas is your training. The self-study and self-sacrifice for the big race of living in your dharma is all work towards the moment when suddenly it is on, when opportunity and market demand appear from nowhere and you need to lace up your shoes and go. You will know what the call is. You can have some pre-race chat with your trusted guides and mentors, but ultimately, the call to go is yours. And you need to not get waylaid by your own fears of whether it is the right or wrong thing to do. There is no ideal time, but there is a right time. All of your practice and rigor to prepare your mind will kick in like rote at that moment. You won't hesitate. You will just say yes and go. As Krishna says to Arjuna in the Gita over and over in different ways, when you know who you are, you will know how to act. Gandhi practiced the mantra of repeating Ram over and over throughout his life, no matter what he was doing, no matter where he was. He had taken on the advice Krishna gave in the Gita to constantly repeat a holy name wholeheartedly, and Lord Ram was the name he chose. In doing so, his mind was turned to the divine, and he knew that whatever happened, he was surrendered and ready for a good death. When he was fatally shot in the heart, as he looked his assailant in the eyes and fell to the ground, he uttered the words, Ram, Ram. Such was his training in keeping his mind focused. In the Buddha Dharma, it is believed that whatever your mind is set on in your last moments, this is the determinant as to how your next life will be. All the actions of this life are pointed towards a peaceful, happy death and attaining another human rebirth, so you can continue to work towards the enlightenment of all through your selfless service. If you are constantly working to be living in your dharma and open to how, when, and where that might play out, you are creating the single-pointed environment for this to happen. When it does, you will be perfectly ready to say yes and begin. More importantly, the practice of the practice will mean that everything you do is dharma-focused and mindful and surrendered and strategically aligned with renouncing attachment to the eight worldly dharmas. So you will already, in theory, be living in service. Love, serve, and remember your dharma. A simple mantra that will serve you well as you begin this journey through yourself to yourself. Following your dharma into a good hustle doesn't mean that life will be without suffering or hardship. Happiness isn't about an absence of challenge. It's about a surplus of acceptance. As Stephen Cope says in his book, The Great Work of Your Life, A Guide for the Journey to Your True Calling, dharma saves us by not ending, but by redeeming our suffering. It enables us to bear our suffering, and most importantly, it enables our suffering to bear fruit for the world. For Stephen Cope, meeting the dharma in your life is not about a big, grand gesture of doing, of the fame and fortune that we are groomed through the media to believe is everyone's destiny for at least 15 minutes. It is about realizing that the thing you do, which is your thing, that is completely aligned with your true self, is often small and composed. Most importantly, it is yours, and the one place where we have the opportunity to discover our true selves. Epilogue. It's time to have big thoughts, huge thoughts. All the conditions are there. What we need now is the determination to do it. Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Buddhist teacher. I hope this book has inspired you to look deeper into your own existence, your reason for being here. I hope it has awakened in you the recognition that what you are looking for exists and the idea that you can access it as soon as you try. I'm not sugarcoating. Good hustling is hard and is not a fast food quick fix. There is no fixed destination, but it is a leveling up of daily joy and meaning. I'm sure you've repeatedly heard it said that happiness comes from within and been left frustrated and wondering whether your within is broken. The memes and truisms of self-help only give you the large print. They don't often tell you that the work takes a lifetime of days. It's austerity, renunciation and sacrifice, and deep personal investigation. You will gently let go of friends, of jobs, perhaps of partners and family members, of pastimes and activities that used to fire you up momentarily. At the same time, you will find new friends quietly fall in line, that old ones who know you so well grow with you. You will see a deepening of existing love and revelations of support that will fire your resolve like a kiln. You will find courage you never knew existed, humor, grace, and wisdom you had denied you possessed. Use that wisdom to remind yourself that even a moment of peace, a minute of looking your true self in the eye with love, an hour of feeling connected to a vast expanse of sentient beings, makes your life worth it. Your being belongs to the world. Your Dharma is calling you to action. Meet it halfway. Fall in love with it and yourself. The good hustler in me sees and acknowledges the good hustler in you. And together we say namaste. Acknowledgements. No book is an island, especially when you live on one. The Good Hustle, like all ideas that make it through execution and into the market, was a collaboration of smarts with heart, and I'm extremely grateful to everyone who played a part in its evolution. The whole team at Murdoch Books are a dream to work with and taught me so much about the process of being an author along the way. Big props, especially to Lou Johnson, Katie Bosher, Madeline Kane, Vivian Volk, Romina Panetta, Louise Cornage, Gemma Crocker, Henrietta Ashton, who named the puppy, plus all the loving hands from Murdoch and Allen and Unwin globally that touched the manuscript on its way to the bookstore. My deepest namaste. Writing is the easy part. The hard part is in the edit. Editor Megan Amore is well-named, as she is love personified for an author, with a prescient eye, firm but fair touch on the delete button, and a structural knack that is a boon from the gods. Thank you. From the bottom of my grammatically challenged, wordy heart. The writer's ego is fragile, and while words can be defended, it takes a brave soldier to take the profile shots. To the master of the lens, Douglas Frost, thanks. You always make me as pretty as brutalist architecture. Before it even got to the doors of Murdoch, there was a dedicated group of gals who put the text through its paces and took the time to smash through the unedited first cut, diligently annotating what they loved and what made them go, Reading a big, rambling document is torture. So to Zoe Coyle, Suze Henshaw, Rachel Treasure, Helen Cushing, Tanya Trost, Emily Hassett, Julie Reagan, and my travelling muse, Claire Dunn, what you did validated and refined my vision. And each of you are woven into the pages like beautiful strands of DNA. To the Krishna Village yogis, Leela Katana, Henrique Schreer, and Mal Knights, thank you for keeping me bhakti and bendy in mind and body. And finally, to Roshan McCann, thank you for tipping the first domino on my path to publication. Fear robs us of being in the present. We are living in our minds in an unknown place and time, fighting battles that haven't started with adversaries who don't exist.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.